You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of September 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line this Monday afternoon, Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Kurt, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Thank you, Todd.
Well, tell me about what you're hearing from farmers. I suspect some have decided to at least shuck an in row off just for fun. Have they been finding anything good?
Well, thus far, early reports have been surprisingly pleasant. You know, it's all over the place, but mostly towards the upper end. Still a little wet in some areas, but, you know, these yields are phenomenal. The Delta, you know, big yields in beans, you know, Alabama, big yields corn, Kentucky, Tennessee, you know, the upper 200s in some areas, but the harvest activity is moving further north here. There's been some activity here in central Illinois, and yield potential remains favorably strong, and it kind of signifies that maybe on Thursday here we'll see a bigger production number, Todd.
Well, I did see that the average trade guess, I think, for the ending stocks for the 14-15 crop year, that'd be the year we're in right now, the harvest month, our harvest that we're about to do, is set at about 2 billion bushels. That's 200 million bushels higher than what USDA pegged it in August. But I'm thinking that might be just about where the trade had been trading. What's your thought on what we'll see on Thursday at 11 a.m.?
Yeah, I think the numbers are going to be a little bigger. You know, I don't know if we'll see the great big numbers some of these guys are looking at, but you know, SC Stone numbers is probably about the largest number we'll see. It indicates that we're probably going to be in this lower $3 level on corn and dip below the $10 level on beans here at some point in time. But the function of the market is to, you know, see if demand can come forward here. So far, the demand side's kept their hands in their pockets for the most part. We did see China purchase 120,000 tons of U.S. beans. We just need to see them do more than just their regular routine purchasing. But demand's the key in through here, and that might be a little concern in the marketplace, too, with the stronger dollar, because when you look at last year's corn exports and this year's corn exports, the trade's factored in a big pickup in corn exports this coming crop year.
And we did bounce just a little bit from the lows, which we put in recently for the corn pit. Are your expectations that the trade is thinking we've gone low enough at least at this point? And do they have a 2 billion bushel or something bigger than that built into the marketplace for carryout for corn?
Well, I think we're hovering around this 2 billion bushel mark. If we come in above 2 billion bushel, we could go lower. But right now, we're kind of projecting this. These futures could slip on down to this 330 area. To go much lower than that, we'd probably need to see that carry out move above there. Trade's still optimistic that corn crop's going to be there, but the thing is that a lot of the corn has not been sold. Producers still been hesitant to get caught up on sales. Of course, with these better yields, we'll have a lot more corn to sell. So a lot of it's going to hinge on producer selling habits as we move into this fall.
Where did the pressure come from in the soybean pit today?
Just the fact that, you know, bean harvest is getting going here. We're not seeing Asia step forward to be a big buyer. Meal gave up its gains. A lot of optimism has come out of the meal pit, and the strength there last week was concerns about, you know, the frost freeze concerns, and with the weather maps kind of in not agreement in through here, we kind of took a little bit of that frost freeze fear off the table too. So we'll come in here probably tomorrow and put frost freeze back into the forecast, and this bean market just seems like it just wants to consolidate between $10 on the lower side for the November contract, and it seems we're getting that 10:30 area, we find resistance. Some point in time, I would think the trade's going to challenge the $10 to see if there's some stops under that November futures contract level.
Take a look at livestock for me. In particular, feeder cattle, they remain very, very high-priced.
Well, they, same old story, you know, tight numbers. The big supportive features just this grain market continues to move lower in through here, for those guys buying feeders and trying to market the fat side, it's a awful delicate balance there to work out. You know, when you look at cheaper grain values, instantly people think, well, there's a lot of profitability. But when you're paying up over $2.25 for feeders and this fat market starts to slip, it's kind of hard to get that to balance. So, you know, as long as the grain market stays soft, cattle numbers stay somewhat tight through here, feeders are going to remain firm here for some time to come.
I suppose all in all, it's just a waiting game until we get to the USDA's WASDE and crop production report on Thursday at 11 a.m. now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to probably chop around through here for a little bit and see what new news there is. But it feels like the market wants to drift in here. A lot of the negativeness is probably going to be on the cash side here. Commercials continue to keep that basis wide for fall delivery. But if you look at basis levels for ash for the first of the year, it starts to improve. And two, when you look at your cash price versus July futures, there's quite a bit of carry in the market place between now and then. So there's some opportunities to do some marketing here to play a little catch-up to add to that bottom line, Todd.
Thank you so much, Kurt. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Okay, take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You can hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.